Fourth and final hour of Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Joe Rex Road, Mark Howard, Elijah Campbell here. And we're very happy to bring in our next guest, Darren McFarland, of course, of Darren Donovan Chase and the Preds pregame and postgame shows here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Darren, how are you, my friend?
Joe, I've got the four fingers up, so I know.
There you go, four.
I just love. Don't you just love how some people get so angry about that? They like makes them so mad that they still do that. I'm like, what? What's the big deal? I mean, it's they're signifying they're going into the last quarter. Let's go. I mean, what's people get so mad at that? I don't understand it.
Boy Kevin Ingram used to say that James Franklin would almost punch you if you didn't put the four fingers up when he was at Vanderbilt on the sidelines.
How many teams don't do it? Like, how many teams now, like, especially college football, and it's a college thing, right? It's more
it's
college and
high
school.
Pretty much, yeah.
But, like, how many teams don't do that at this point?
You don't see it very often where they don't do it, but people get so mad. It cracks me up. I'm like, that's all right, man. It's okay. They're allowed to say we're going in the final quarter. Come on, let's do this. I mean, it's okay. Whatever motivates teams. I don't know if that really motivates them, but you know what?
It's
when I did it motivated me for this segment, so that's all that counts.
I like it. So you actually put them up. I like it. Yeah. Well, so speaking of things that make you mad, so I got to loop you in on this one. So earlier I had a little rant about literally because I heard someone this weekend say that Derrick Henry is literally putting the Titans on his back, which, of course, would probably kill him. So do you have something like this, something that people say? We went through a ton of them, you know, a butchering of the English language.
Oh, my gosh. Joe,
open up this jar.
I'm glad. Look, my wife is the grammar police. She comes from a long line of teachers. Her mom is a teacher. Her aunt is a teacher. The aunt before her is a teacher. Uncle is they're teachers littered all over their family tree. And she is the grammar police. And I've been with her for 16 and a half years. And let me tell you something. I'm constantly, the minute I say something like, yeah, you and I, you know, it's like, no, I'm like, no, that's not what I meant. I meant, you know, or I and me or they, how you spell theirs. I mean,
yes.
I am very conscious about all of that stuff. You're, you know, with the apostrophe R-E. I mean, I've heard it for 16 plus years and not just from her, but her entire family. So, yeah, I'm very aware of that stuff. I'm constantly reminded anytime I step in it. And so I'm always very, very careful what I write or what I say when it comes to that stuff.
Well, I think we needed to work with more people. I mean, I think we need to because there's a lot of work needed out there. But that's good to hear. Darren, the Nashville Predators had to have that one last night. Got it. Connor Ingram, that's a heck of a story, really. As he posted, you know, 9 months after having to go into the health and safety program, here he is, I thought, playing really well in that game. 9 goals in the last 2 games, 8 goals in the first 4 games. Where do you think this team is right now?
Who knew they needed to go on the road to find their scoring touch, you know? And that's what happened. Unfortunately, it didn't result in 2 victories, even though they scored, 9 goals in 2 road games. And unfortunately, one of them was a loss, but They got their scoring punch back, which it lacked in the 4-game homestand to start the season. And, yes, Connor Ingram, what a great story, right? He was a 3rd-round pick by the Lightning in 2016. They really liked him, but obviously there was stuff going on. They gave up on him. The Predators swooped in. They traded for him in June of 2019. And they have always liked Connor Ingram. They have always liked him. I mean, anytime I've ever talked to anybody in the Predators organization that's been around him, they speak glowingly of him. So I know that they really, really like Connor Ingram. But, you know, you mentioned, you know, he's had issues off the ice, and that reared its ugly head last year. And you just never know, right? You don't know what somebody's battling. You don't know what somebody's going through. You just don't know. You know, and I even said in the offseason, like, I think they've got to go out and get a veteran backup. I know they love Connor Ingram, but I'm not sure that you can trust Connor Ingram, you know, for an entire season. I think he may have forced their hand to go get a veteran, and that's exactly what they did. I still love what he did last night. By the way, only the second goalie in Predators franchise history to go out there and win their NHL debut. He now joins the ranks of Pecorine, who did it in 2005 against Chicago, but I thought he was good. It's very clear his teammates really like him. They're rooting for him, and, you know, so was everybody else. I love this story.
We're speaking, of course, to Darren McFarland, host of the Predators' pre- and between periods and post-game shows. Darren, what about the way John Hines tweaked his first two lines last night and the effect it had on the team?
I tell you, my first thought, Mark, if I'm being totally honest, and you guys jump in there and tell me if anybody else had this thought, it's just me, and I have no idea if there's any validity to it at all, but my first actual thought when I saw, oh, he's bumped Cunning up to that first line and slid Forsback back, but I was like, oh, okay, they're going to Minnesota. Okay, I get it. All right. I see what he's doing there, you know? But, you know, in actuality, Cunning's earned it. He's played really well. He really has, and I don't know if that had anything to do with it. Probably didn't. It's just, if I was just being honest, it was the first thought that I had. I was like, oh, okay, I get it there. And by the way, Tommy Novak, what a weekend for him, and a cool story for him going back there as well. But, no, look, this is what happens, Mark. You know this. I mean, especially in hockey. When it's not going your way, I mean, you can just count on it that they're going to start shuffling players around. Lines change if you're not having success. I mean, that's just how it works. And that homestand and losing in Winnipeg, it was bound to happen when you get off to a 1-4 start. So I really wasn't that surprised. They reunited, you know, that line of Trenton, Sissons, and Janot. Wasn't surprised there. Like I said, Forsberg slid down to that second line with Granlund. Tolvanen moved back up after they had him on the fourth line on Saturday night. But this is what happens when you're not getting the success, when you're not getting 2 points, when you're not winning games. And we'll see how long he sticks with it. I guess as long as they're winning, he'll stick with this formula. And the minute that it stops working, they'll start shuffling lines around again.
What about the decor? They moved Dante Fabbro up with Josi and put Carrier with Ekholm and gave everybody a whole new third D pairing. What about what they're doing on that end?
Yeah, they shuffled them around. They gave Harper and Myers the start on Saturday. I didn't think they were particularly great. Winnipeg's good. I mean, their offense is good. If you've been in that building, when that building gets going, man, it's a tough place to play. I didn't think they had their best game in Harper and Myers. I'm not saying that's the reason that they went to Borowiecki and Benning last night in Minnesota. I just think right now, as long as everybody's available, that's probably what they're going to do with the third D pairing. They're just going to probably shuffle them in and out as long as everybody is available. I think they like Borowiecki and Benning together. And I think right now, as you mentioned, Dante Fabbro started the season, you know, lower than that, and he just kept moving up. He kept getting more and more playing time and earning it. And you could see his confidence building, Mark, and now he's up there playing with Roman Josi, as you mentioned. And right now, the way he's playing and with the confidence that he's showing and the hard work that he put in the offseason that he told us that he put in, he worked on a lot of things in the offseason. Right now, it's showing. And I don't think he's going to be going anywhere anytime soon. He'll probably stick with Josi for a while.
Speaking of defense, Darren, how many more touchdowns did you expect the Chiefs to score yesterday than zero at Nissan Stadium?
I'm glad I didn't touch anything on that game. I'm glad that I didn't bet anything on the Chiefs' offense.
The over, for example?
The over or anything to do with the Chiefs' offense, because I probably would have been sitting here doing this hit shirtless because, yeah, there's nothing you could have convinced me going into that game that they were going to, you know. Did I think the Titans could win the game? Well, yes, of course I thought they could win the game. In that fashion, no. There's nothing you could have done to convince me they were going to win 27-3 and just totally dominate the Chiefs. We knew the Chiefs had warts. We knew that. They had been giving up the ball at an alarming rate. They're a turnover machine. Their defense hasn't been good at all, especially against the run. So those are huge pluses that the Titans could take advantage of. But just to shut them down like they did, man, Joe, there's Yeah, there's nothing you could have said to me. I just would have laughed. I would have, you know, I would have done our buddy Floyd Reese. I would have just pulled the Floyd Reese laugh, and I just would have laughed and laughed. And you could have told me all the reasons you would have, you know, that the Titans were going to shut the Chiefs down, and I would have never believed you. But they did. It was a heck of a performance.
Let's back to the Predators for a second. They, of course, are overrun with Phils, whether it's Forsberg, whether it's Myers, and they call Tomasino Tommy. Tommy, we can hear you. You know, he's got two goals. You know, maybe a little deficient on the defensive end, Darren, but he seems to be off to a pretty good start.
I'm biased. I love this kid. I really do. I love his personality. I love what he brings to the table. I know that first game, his NHL debut against Seattle, he looked like a rookie. He looked like a kid making his NHL debut. They gave him two games off. I was very curious to see what he would look like inserted back in the lineup on Saturday night in a tough place on the road in Winnipeg. He played on that fourth line with Novak and Tolvanen. I thought he looked good. He had the last goal for the Predators in the third period, the power play goal. And then he played last night with Novak and Cousins in Minnesota. I just really like Tomasino. I think he's getting better. There's still, as you mentioned, there's more to work on. I mean, he's certainly not seasoned. He's played three games. Who's kidding who? He's got a long ways to go. And he'll have more lumps before it's all said and done. But I'm really biased. Right now, I really root – him and Igor Afanasyev, I really root for these guys. I want them to be good because I'm telling both of you and the fans out there that are listening, you're going to love these guys. They have a great personality because if you spend any time around them, they're easy to root for.
Well, Chase McCabe is in here looking good in his Atlanta Braves warm-up shirt. My goodness. What do we have here on tap for Darren Donick and Chase? Is this going to be like carry Chase around the building a little bit, celebrate, pour some water on his head? What are we doing here today?
I think obviously you brought up the Titans win over the Chiefs. Like, that's going to be the heavy influence today. But for Chase's sake, I mean, we have to lead. You know, that has to be the lead. Like, we have to start there. Just because, you know, I saw his awkward hug with Ryan Porth on video on Saturday night. You know, maybe it was a little induced by maybe some beverages. I don't know, but it was a little awkward, the hug. He kind of almost missed, almost, you know, knocked Porth out right before his birthday. So that was kind of weird, but I'm happy for him. I'm happy for all the Braves fans out there. But, yeah, we'll probably have to give him a little love at the beginning and maybe make fun of his hug a little bit.
It was a tender moment, I thought.
You know, you like, so you thought it was a clean sheet, hug?
No, it wasn't a clean sheet, but you know what? Sometimes life is sloppy, you know? Those beautiful moments, they're not always, you know, best on video, you know? I still thought it was a nice moment. So check that out. Darren Donick and Chase coming up at the top of the hour at 10 from 10 to 2. Darren, thank you, my friend.
Thank you, guys. You have a great rest of the show. Yeah. Thanks for doing this.
Darren McFarland. And when we come back, I got to catch up the phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. I'm so bad at like just about everything about this compared to Robbie. I'm really bad at that. So I'm going to try to catch up on that when we come back on Robbie and Rex Show, ESPN 102.5 The Game.